Thanks for joining us for this episode of Strategic Storytelling.
Jesse and I work together to help people and businesses reach and connect with their communities.
Brian is a visual storyteller, designer, and chief creative officer at Pathfinder.
Jesse is very passionate about entrepreneurship. He's a very loyal person, and he is a very caring individual as well.
In marketing, the storytelling leans on the strategy, but the strategy needs storytelling to be effective.
Agreed. Welcome back to another episode of Strategic Storytelling with Brian and Jesse, where we talk about all things marketing. And today, we're going to be answering, maybe not fully answering, that's a big question to ask, is why aren't people listening to us? Not us in general, but if you're a client or if you're a business and you're asking yourself, why isn't my message getting out there? Why am I not making more sales? Why are more people not coming into my shop or business? Yeah. So,
well, yeah, I mean,
let's talk about it.
At the end of the day, you know, business has to make money. Otherwise, it's not a business, right?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, people got to make money, or world doesn't really go around, right?
Exactly.
So I think what happens here, we talked about this a little bit before we were filming this, is that people kind of, most of our customers come to us and they ask, or they tell us, I'm here because I need more sales. And we they want to grow, right? And unfortunately, sometimes they're not in a spot where they're making any sales. But what they're really asking is, why aren't people listening? And what we're really trying to tell them is, well, we need to get to the root cause of why they're not listening. And I think it varies heavily. But I think just to really jump in on the true reason as a whole, despite the nuances we can kind of get into, is that the world is very loud these days. You know, I don't know the exact numbers, but there used to be a statistic out many years ago about how many advertising messages you would see in a given day. And I remember the statistic from the 90s, and then they showed one from, you know, maybe it was a couple years ago now. And the number was just like 100 times greater. It was for every one, it's now 100 that you see in a day. And it's because of the screens in front of us. Mm-hmm. There's even more billboards out there. Mm-hmm. There's advertisements in all kinds of places. Some of them are placed so strategically you don't even know they're advertisements, which are very clever. Yep. And obviously we would love to do some things like that here, because if you don't know you're being advertised to, that's a really great advertisement.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, what we're just really saying is your message 50 years ago would be heard much louder by a billboard. Mm-hmm. You know, billboards were more rare.
Right.
You see a billboard, you look, and you probably read it all the way through.
Right.
And now we live in a world of constant everything.
Well,
and it's just different.
With the digital age, we've, you know, given a voice to everyone, whether, you know, you think that's good or bad, but everyone has a voice. And with that voice can come a lot of white noise.
And that's what advertisements come, white noise.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I think the amount of advertisements we see and register is actually very few and far between. I mean, I scrolled on Facebook this morning, right?
Right, me too.
I can't tell you what I saw, brings a whole fun little conversation about our the value of us doing some of things like that. But, you know, How do you really stand out is I think the question. People, it's not that people aren't listening to you in most cases, not all, most. It's people are listening to a lot, and you have to make an impact great enough that they hear you, right?
Right. And it's not about why aren't people listening to us. It's more about how can we make our message reach the people that are already listening to us and get it to them in a more succinct way.
Well, and the other thing that's happened too is that so there's more messages, so we can't possibly as human beings register them all appropriately, right?
Yeah.
But in addition to that, the other thing is there's so many that we as humans, and we've been sold to so many times now by people that really didn't mean us well, right? That it's harder to convince us as people to want something or believe in something.
Well, we're a lot more hesitant, and we're a smarter consumer.
Less trusting.
We're less trusting, but we're also a
smarter consumer
because we can go
get more information.
We have more information at our fingertips. Yeah.
I mean, how I've done this. You know, you get a company that like sounds too good to be true, and the first thing you do is you like go Google them, see like did people give a ton of bad ratings?
Yeah, what are the ratings
at? They were absolutely too good to be true.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and I always love that on like the Amazon reviews, because you also find on the Amazon reviews like, why is this like 4 stars and not 5? And you start going through and you see some like 1s and 2s and you read them and you're like, I don't think they understood how to use this.
Yeah.
Or exactly. Or they'll say something like, it arrived late. I'm like, well, that's not really the product's no, fault, but you know, whatever. The other thing though, too, just what I was trying to get to there is there used to be that marketing rule of 7. People talk about it.
Yes.
It was in college courses, the whole thing. You have to hit somebody 7 times mm-hmm. with your messaging. That can be on different platforms, but you have to get them 7 times for them to even recognize you.
Right.
I'm trust you.
I saw the research on this that you had written up, and I'm very curious where we're at, because I know it's up.
Yeah. So it's had 2 phases. Okay.
Okay.
So it used to be just 7 times. After 7 times, you could sell them.
Okay.
Then in probably the 2000 to 2015, 20 area, that 10 to 20 years there, it became, well, yes, 7 times for them to recognize your brand, 21 times, so 3 times 7, 21 times for them to trust your brand.
Oh.
So very different things, right?
Okay.
Because there are definitely brands I recognize that I don't necessarily trust.
Right.
Right? You can probably name some of them right now.
Right.
So now this – I don't know if they just don't have as recent data or whatever, but the only data point I can find at this point, which is almost like I think they've given up trying to figure out how many it is, but it's 77 times.
Oof.
You have to get them 77 times on average to be able to sell something to somebody. Now, that's not across the board, because if it's an average, you know, there are people you can get 1 time, and I've done that.
Right.
There's been products I've seen, advertisements that after seeing it once, I've purchased. But that's why, and if you think about it, whether you like this or not, right, once you've visited something once and you see the ads like 50 more times after that mm-hmm. in a row because they're now tracking you, but they're doing that because they have to hit you so many times with sometimes even some a little bit different messaging to get you to buy into this.
Right.
You know, they literally – it. The data says to them, if we've advertised to you once and you didn't buy, that's normal.
Right.
We have to hit you more. We have to inundate you with this
mm-hmm.
or you'll never buy. And then all of the businesses we do love would go out of business and we'd never be able to support anything.
Right.
So it's a weird balance to strike.
Well, right. And then I want to do a little role play, and me being a business and then you being Pathfinder, and
okay.
as that, so with all of what we just talked about in mind, so I'm a business, you've done some marketing for me, can I just reuse that marketing messaging?
Yeah.
Can I, how many times?
Well, so if you think about it, right, again, just think about your daily life. This is what I would tell a client. You scroll through your feed, you know, you pass by that billboard every day and you never read it, right? But maybe this day you did,
right?
So you know, when people think about, you posted this post on social media and got 0 likes. And I'm like, yeah, but this other one got 10. And it's very much like sometimes the messaging will hit different, of course. But sometimes it's just a matter of when you're hitting people. And this has gotten actually more challenging recently. So it used to be that, you know, you could find all these articles online about, you know, for LinkedIn, you post at this time and this time because the audience there is really more so looking at posts at this time, and that's when you would post and you would whatever. Facebook over the pandemic, actually most social media platforms at this point, have now changed that so that you're seeing more of what it thinks you want to see despite the time of day or when you're scrolling.
Mm-hmm.
Same with other advertising platforms outside of social media as well. So when you think about that, so for instance, if I follow a new page, I've tried this. I'll follow a new business. I've never followed the business before. And next time I get to my feed, all of a sudden I'll see a post from them. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I just followed that page. Well, yeah, because I follow that page and they're like, that is an indicator that
yep.
you are interested, right?
Yes.
And then later I'll, you know, refresh my feed and another post from that business from 4 days ago will pop up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's weird. When I used to scroll on Facebook or whatever, I would see stuff that was just today
mm-hmm.
as I refresh. And now, but it's totally changed. And so when you think about that change, it's like it's beneficial and not. You can't time these things as well anymore. It doesn't matter as much. There's a little bit to it, but not as much. And it's really about how do I engage these people? How do I interest these people? And how do I capture that? Which is why you also see the, again, you click on one ad, man, and all of a sudden you see that ad like 10 times.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah.
Whether you meant to click on it or
not. I'm just as guilty as everybody else. You know, scrolling by. And then all of a sudden, for some reason, I'm like, it's because and it's likely because I've seen it, you know, dozens of times. And finally I'm like, oh, actually, I'm interested in this. I want to click on it. And so then I do, and then
it captured me. And that's the best point there is that, you didn't click it the first time or the second, but the third.
Or the 20th.
Did. And the other thing, too, is, you know, based on those algorithms, if it's looking at interest level, right? If I saw a post and I didn't do anything, well, I might not see something from that business for a little while. But then when I do see something from that business, maybe they just got me one day. Maybe it was interesting. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe I just happened to stop on it,
mm-hmm.
right? But once I've kind of engaged with that or hovered over that that post for a little while, I'm going to see more from that company from the past 2 weeks, for instance. Mm-hmm. And so if you haven't posted anything for 2 weeks or if you haven't posted more engaging content, even though people may not have seen that and it seemed like that post was doing really poorly, now people are interested in your page because they stopped on something. Now they're seeing all those past things.
Mm.
And that's a very big different mindset change in how you get people to hear you, in that it used to be, I have to hit them at the right time of day. And now it's, I have to attract them and then I have to continue to attract them with stuff I've already posted or the future that I post
mm-hmm.
or put up or whatever in order to engage them to a point where they actually now get to my website, click a link, buy something,
right.
whatever.
It's not about just attracting them. It's about engaging them and keeping them engaged.
Absolutely.
I think this
is really true in a lot of if you just look at larger industries and companies now, you're going to kind of see it. So, for instance, video games, I think, is a good example right now. It used to be, I go to the store, I buy the cartridge, I plug it in, I play the game, start to finish, and then I'm waiting for the next one,
mm-hmm.
right? When's the next Mario coming out?
Mm-hmm.
Nintendo still kind of does it that way, but most other games, like Fortnite or Call of Duty or just different games like that, they're all online services now. Yes. They all have DLC, downloadable content that they add to the game, some paid, some free, to continue that engagement level. It's no longer this, I have to capture them right now. It's, I have to capture them at some point, whether that be at the beginning, whether that be once word of mouth catches on, whether that means once the DLC comes out. It doesn't matter to them as long as they catch you and then retain you from there with more content. You know, it's why, if you don't know video games, you may not know a lot of the things I'm saying right now, but there are a couple games that came out and tanked. I mean, they just did terrible. Upon release, they were essentially called unfinished games. And then as they added updates to those, improved it, fixed bugs, added more content, all of a sudden it gained new life. People were now playing it more often, buying things from them, whatever. And that's how they made their money. And so when you think about those are large examples. But when you think about how, whether you're a small business or not, how am I going to engage them for the long term? I think that's way more important. It's also easier to retain someone than it is to attract them newly, based on what we just talked about.
Yeah, of course.
So I think building into your model a way for people to hear you longer or more times is way more important sometimes than getting them to hear you one time.
Right.
Right? That's very different than 30 years ago.
Yeah. How do then as a business – does a business stand out? What strategies can they utilize to stand
out? Let's just run through a couple examples. Obviously, I've given the video game one.
Yep.
Let's try to give some more down-to-earth ones for the rest of our viewers.
We're both very much into video games, so yeah.
I think a podcast is a great example, right?
Okay.
So I think we're at a point in our business, right, where we've been doing podcasting. We're starting this one. we want to provide quality content to people. That's really mm-hmm. our goal. But if you think about it, like, why would we spend our time doing this? It's either because we just love it so much, which we do.
We do.
But at the end of the day,
maybe me more.
You
than
can only you. Love something so much as it, you know, brings you some value, right? So at some point, we want our listeners to hear something that they're like, man, these guys know what they're talking about mm-hmm. and whatever. And if we capture them with, you know, a full podcast episode, or we capture them with, you know, a clip of one of these things that goes on a Facebook reel, and then maybe they listen to more episodes. There's lots of ways to do that. Mm-hmm. But really just that consistent messaging, I think, is really important. And if they hear something that we say that's like, oh, that resonates with me, you know, they stopped on that reel, they stopped on that podcast episode, they're probably going to listen to the next thing.
Right.
And then it's our job to make sure that they listen often enough that it's – and then they're only going to do that if it's engaging, right? So
yes.
If we have this topic that we're doing right now mm-hmm. and we talk about this next time and time after that and time after that, it's like the same conversation. And by time 10, you're like, this is super boring.
Yeah, just like
you're out.
Yeah.
You're done. So that's just, you know, maybe an us example. For others, you know, restaurants I think is a good one.
Okay.
You know, I have my favorite restaurants that I'm – and, you know, I know I'm a little different of a person, but, you know, I'm going to go there – you know, once a month maybe, and I'm going to get the same thing every time.
Right.
And they don't have to do anything but keep producing that same thing, and I'm good. But others are not that way, right? They want differentiation. They want something different. And that's the struggle of a restaurant, right? Because if I'm only coming there once a month or less, that's really hard. Like, they can't focus on one customer. I think customers think that, you know, maybe they go into a restaurant and the restaurant was just having a bad day, and maybe they're food came out slow, or maybe they weren't treated well by a waiter or something. I don't know. But it just wasn't a good day. Okay. It wasn't really a reflection of the restaurant as a whole or usual, but that's what it was. And one customer gets so upset and they never give them a try ever again just because of that one bad experience. Mm-hmm. And I think that's true. I think people do respond that way. But if you think about it from a restaurant's perspective, you're not the person that's going to make or break their business, right? So you coming in one time isn't going to do anything for them.
Right.
What they need to do is come up with ways to get people like that, though, to come in multiple times. So if you only serve one thing and one thing only, that might be a bad business model, unless you're something super popular that just everyone has to try. I don't know. But those are kind of fly-by-night
places. Few and far between, yeah.
But, like, you know, I think that's – I think it's the issue with some restaurants, they add too much to the menu.
Yes.
But, you know, if I'm going to go to a restaurant locally, you know, I might try a different drink each time I go. I might try a different dish each time I go. If I run out of that, or I don't have something that really stands out, you know, I'm not coming back. If they don't have a special event, if they don't have, you know, a lot of restaurants will do the coupon code deal. They'll send an email, come in today, you get this special we're doing, or you get this, you know, 50% off. That's a high number, but some percent off. That the coupons. That's how they get them. Mm-hmm. You know, for just think of another coffee shops, right? Starbucks, I think, did a really good job of this. Obviously, they're a large company, but you know, they have an app, and I get points, and so now it's a game. Mm-hmm. And not only is it a game, but I get free coffee out of the game. So now every time I see a Starbucks, I'm loyal to the Starbucks, right? I'm not saying that for me personally, just in general. And it's kind of like, well, I get something. They're giving me something. And are you really getting something? No, you're not. But you feel like you are, so you're going back. And they use that app to send notifications about new drink specials. And I think, you know.
Well, they're bringing you along with the experience.
It's an experience. They've made it an experience. Mm-hmm. And they're making that experience when you're not even in the store. Precisely. And I think that's so important. I think one of the things I like to point out to people sometimes is the pumpkin spice latte, which is, you know, the greatest thing ever, apparently. They only do it for a month or two months every year. And every year it says PSL is back, similar to like the McRib at McDonald's, right? And is that one item so good that it's just that important of a thing? No.
But they've created scarcity.
Demand and scarcity, and they make it an event, mm-hmm. like we talked about a little bit ago. You have an event, and so people come back for it. And then you get to the Christmas drinks, and we've got our red cups oh man, the red cups. What am I going to do if I'm not walking around with a red cup? Mm-hmm. And they have their special drinks for that. So there's lots of ways to do this, but it's really about making sure people are listening consistently over time, mm-hmm. and then making sure you're heard with something great. I do think as marketers, sometimes I struggle with this a little bit, is when we do marketing, we have to make it sound even greater than it is. Pumpkin spice latte is back. Oh,
right.
It's like this big, amazing, incredible thing. And it isn't.
It has to be big.
But hype. It's hype.
Yeah. Well, it's hyped. And I think, and we've talked a little bit about this as well. It's hyped and it's loud, but it still has to be authentic.
Yeah.
Like it's, and so.
Well, and for them, I think the authenticity is, number one, the Starbucks experience that you get just any day,
right,
regardless of what drink they're serving. But then also, I think it's the authenticity there of the season.
Yes.
So the pumpkin spice latte is like this, it's an emotion. It's this fall time emotion. It brings out, fall brings out an emotion in people. Mm-hmm. There's people that just love fall. They love Halloween. They love the pumpkin spice. And the same with the Christmas time. And so I think people don't realize that, like, the pumpkin spice latte, I think we've really focused on that now, is there. It's not this specific product. It's the experience of that at that certain time.
Right.
That makes it so special and why so many people are buying it.
Well, you brought something up that I think we probably could talk about in another episode, but we can kind of wrap it up here. But it is like they're at the very, very, you know, boiled down version of it, like they're really selling an emotion.
Yeah,
right? They're selling, like, how that makes you feel when you purchase it. Like, well, it could be nostalgia. It could be just convenience. It could be anything.
If you think about, like, again, back to why aren't they listening to me? Are you making them feel something?
Yeah.
Now, funny enough, there are some marketing that focuses on making you feel anger.
And
it's actually true. They really do. And they just have to direct that anger towards something that isn't them.
It's something else.
Something else. And then you're like, oh, yeah, I'm angry at them, so I'm going to buy from these guys because they are against that, or they're helping in that effort, or
like
whatever.
Like the Dollar Shave Club advertising. It makes you angry about the other razors. Whether you have animosity towards them or not.
It doesn't have to be like a huge thing.
No.
Because it's a razor, right? Yeah. Like there's 50,000 razors. Like you can get whatever you want.
But they make it easy.
They made it easy for you. And they made you just like, oh, yeah, why would I buy another one? It's not necessarily like anger. It's like, well, this one just makes it so easy.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and people, especially in today's world where we have so much going on and so much to think about and so much to deal with and so much coming at us, easy, simple is, it's funny how we've kind of reverted back. For years, it became more. And now it's, if you can do a simple thing.
Yep.
That stands out in that white noise in that crowd, man, people are going to hear you.
Yep. I think that's where we should wrap it up. So let's do it. So thanks, everybody, for listening to another version of Strategic Storytelling with Jesse and Brian.
Thanks for listening to Strategic Storytelling, a Pathfinder podcast. Be sure to subscribe and follow our socials. For more information, visit our website, yourpathfinder.io.